The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad you could join us for another Netcast. And today I want to get into some really important things that I think are really going to be a blessing to you as we get into the Word of God. Let me just first of all say that there's so many things happening in the news right now. I'm sure you're paying attention to them. You're seeing them happen, and you're as shocked as all of us are about some of the things we're seeing. There's earthquakes, there's tsunamis, there's disasters of every kind. And in Japan, they actually had an earthquake that was over 9 on the Richter scale, and then the aftershocks. They had 250 some odd aftershocks. They were all over 6 point whatever on the Richter scale, which is just, those alone would be powerful earthquakes in and of themselves. And I believe on the news they were saying there were 250 in like over a 1.5 day period of time. It's just amazing to think about, shocking to think about. So our heart goes out to those folks. We pray for them. And I want to just start the Netcast today, right now, and pray for these folks that are over there. And so let's do that right now. Father God, we just thank you that we have the ability to come together and agree together in prayer. I thank you, Father, that people who are in harm's way there in Japan and in the Pacific region there that has been affected by these storms and earthquakes and all the things that are happening, all the destruction. Father, I thank you that you are watching over those folks, that you're sending people across their path that can minister to them effectively, that their needs are going to be abundantly supplied and met. And Father, the compassion that just comes up for them in our hearts, we just believe, is put there by the Holy Spirit to minister to people and to open our hearts to pray for those people. And so we do that right now. We thank you that people are being sent across their path, laborers, not only to help them physically, but also to help them spiritually and to help them recover completely from this series of disasters. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, part of what I want to talk about today is this very situation, not so much the specific situation that's going on in Japan and in other places in the San Francisco area. They've had, tremendous effects from the storms and the tsunamis there, and just other places around the world. But the fact that we are being, you might say, presented with the kinds of feelings of compassion and the involvement that we can have in the spiritual realm from that. What is that about? What's going on? I want to talk a little bit about that today. What's going on in your spirit when you see these things and you're, first of all, you're shocked by them. Second of all, you begin to just have this compassion that goes out toward the people that are in these situations. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John, and let's go over to, matter of fact, let's begin in 1 John 3:13, because I think we'll see a juxtaposition here that's really interesting. 1 John 3:13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Now, that may seem like a funny place to start on a discussion like this, but this is the flow of the scripture that that John is writing here by the Holy Spirit, and it's information that we really need to keep in mind. So let's approach it from the viewpoint that he did here. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God." This is what I want to get to today. So this is really a key point right here. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, this phrase just came up in my spirit when I saw all of this happening, bowels of compassion. Now, from our perspective in the West, and you know, historically, America and our part of the world is called the West. That basically came from European ancestry, from folks that initially colonized America back in the 1600s, 1700s. But even so, Western civilization has a unique perspective. Well, so does Eastern civilization. And the Bible is an Eastern book. You've probably heard somebody say that once before or twice. And that is that it's an Eastern book. It comes from a society. It comes from a culture that comes out of the East. And so when we hear the term bowels of compassion, we go, what in the world are you talking about? Because from a Western viewpoint, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But from an Eastern viewpoint, bowels, the bowel is the center of the physical body. Okay? Yeah, and I'm talking about the intestines, the bowels that you think I'm talking about, the center of the body. Well, that area of the center of the body is the heart, as in center, not the heart blood pump, but the center of the body. And that's what the Word of God is talking about when it talks about the heart. It's not talking about the blood pump. It's talking about the center. When it talks about the bowels here, it's not talking about the intestines. It's talking about out of the center or the core of your being, out of literally your spirit man. That's what the Eastern mindset refers to when it's talking about the bowels of compassion. It's talking about out of your spirit is flowing forth this flow of compassion. And this is what struck me. That's why this scripture came to mind immediately when I saw what was going on the news. I thought, you know, my bowels of compassion are flowing forth. And again, from a Western point of view, that sounds terrible. But no, from an Eastern point of view, it's coming from the heart. It's coming from the spirit. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. That three-part man, tripartite man is the theological term. You know, get a little doctoral on you here. But the tripartite man teaching our concept comes from the fact that we are a spirit, we have a mind, will, and emotions, we live in a physical body. And of course, the Word of God tells us that we are to be sanctified, set apart unto God, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, not H-O-L-Y, but holy or completely set apart, sanctified unto God, and that should be spirit and soul and body, okay? That area of spirit, soul, and body is a teaching. If you'll ever get a hold of that, if you'll ever understand that, it will go a long way toward helping you understand what's going on when the Word of God mentions some of these things. But I want to get back to this. Let's look at it. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Now, the word perceive here is glenokio in the Greek. I think I'm pronouncing that close. If not, praise the Lord, bear with me. But it means to know absolutely, to know or to sense absolutely, to be aware of or to perceive. Okay, so this perception is a knowing. And we know the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, we don't have to actually lay down our lives as in go to the cross. There's a whole cult of people, particularly I think in New Mexico, some region of Mexico, that actually have themselves nailed to the cross and lifted up in order to, I don't know, somehow identify with Jesus. Well, if you want to identify with Jesus, you identify with who he is now, not with him being nailed on the cross. You identify with the resurrected Jesus. You identify with the glorious Lord overall. Amen? You don't need to identify with him on the cross. He did the work on the cross. You don't have to. So when it says here to lay down our lives for the brethren, it's not talking about physically laying down your life. It's not talking about physically being crucified. It's talking about put aside your own thoughts, put aside your own interest, put aside your own way. You know, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end there is the way of destruction. No, put aside your desire and look to the things of others. Look to the plight of others. We see these people suffering in Japan. Our heart, our spirit goes out to them. That's a term that is used to express this compassion. Now, we perceive this compassion, and what do? We lay down our lives for the brethren. We put aside our current things that we're interested in, our current life, our current issues that are going on with us personally. It's not me, 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 me. We put that attitude aside and we give of ourselves. There are people who are flying over to Japan to help. There are people who are supplying actual physical work there to help them. And that's awesome. That's great. And I applaud that. But there are those of us that aren't in a position maybe to do that, but we can give of ourselves in prayer. We can give of ourselves with financial help and financial aid. We can give of ourselves in other ways. But the key phrase there is to give of yourself, to lay aside your own desires, your own thoughts, your own concerns, and to look to the thoughts, needs, and concerns of others. How can we best help them? Now, there's a term or phrase that has been in Christian circles as long as I can remember in Christian circles, and that is, if you can't go, then send. You know, talking about reaching people with the gospel, sending out missionaries. Well, if you can't personally go yourself, then send someone. Get behind them in prayer. Get behind them in financial support. So what can you do? You can pray for these folks in Japan. Now, Japan is in a very unique situation as well from a spiritual point of view. They reported on the news while this was all going on that Japan is one of the most irreligious nations on earth, meaning that they are not very religious in the classic sense. There are not a lot of Christians, a lot of, you know, people there of faith. They tend to be a very atheistic or agnostic nation. Now, I'm talking in the broad sense, not individuals. I'm sure you may know people that are over there that are strong Christians. Praise the Lord. There are a lot of Christians in Japan, but by percentage, there aren't as many. And so they were saying, you know, it's really a shame that there aren't more believers there. And yet at the same time, we can be a blessing to them, reach out to them, and perhaps they will be won over by our compassion toward them. Now, here's a little interesting historical side note. You know, the Japanese had a belief, I guess you would call it, that in war, the winner, the stronger, had something going for them that was better than the weaker. Generally, of course, that's always the truth. But basically what it is, what I'm getting at here is that when they lost the war in World War II, their emperor was supposed to be all-powerful, so how could they lose? Well, they did lose. And so they said, well, there's something about America that must be more powerful, more it must be stronger than we are, so we believe it's their God. We want to know more about your God. And so General MacArthur went back to the government of the United States and said, folks, give me 10,000 missionaries that I can send them to Japan and we will win this nation to the Lord. Amen, that's great. But you know, of course, what happened, unfortunately, the politically correct crowd in Washington that were even there apparently in the 40s, said, oh no, we can't do that. So the Japanese wanted to latch on to something from America, and so they latched on to, well, it must be because they're such a great nation of commerce and of business and of electronics and all these things that we were the leader in at the time. And through the years, in fairly short order, they became the leader in electronics. They became a very big area of commerce, and so they took on the American system of capitalism in Japan. They could have been a Christian nation if we had heeded General MacArthur and sent in the evangelist that he wanted to send to the nation of Japan. Now, that's water under the bridge, okay? I wish that would have happened, because I really wish they would have been reached with the gospel at that time, but they weren't. Okay, now we can, again, show them compassion. We can show them that we as believers aren't just talking the talk, we're walking the walk. And that's literally what the scripture is talking about here, is I want you to walk the walk. Let's keep reading here. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, that's just by saying, oh yeah, we want them helped, we want them blessed, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And if we'll show them the compassion of God in deed and in truth, it will be a tremendous witness to them. Much less the fact that it's blessing them. Much less the fact that it's helping them, that it's saving people physically, that it's helping restore their country. Of course, that is the most important thing. But I'm talking about more of understanding. The whole reason I'm talking about this is understanding the how this area of compassion works. What is it we perceive? What is it that we see happening in ourselves when some big event like this happens? Now, of course, we could also go into the fact that earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, political problems, all these kinds of things are predicted as part of the last days. We've been talking about being part of the last of the last days. I've heard people at work, at my secular job, I work in computers at a local regional hospital, and I hear people as they go by my office walking down the hall, they're talking about, man, do you see what's going on in the news? Why, it's like these are the last days. And I have to just grin and say, yes, it is. It's exactly like the last days. We're in the last of the last days. All of these things we're seeing. You know, I used to think when I started studying prophecy back in the late 60s, early 70s, I did all kinds of study and I did all kinds of research and I got together all kinds of scriptures and I did clippings out of the newspaper. And literally at this time when I started, it was during the Six-Day War, you know, right around 1966. And I was a young kid, not super young, but fairly young. And I was studying all this stuff and I was thoroughly involved in it. And I thought, wow, any minute, any minute, any minute. Well, of course, it wasn't any minute back then that the Lord came, but I was really excited about it, and I was looking forward to it. And so I'm studying all this stuff, and I'm thinking, yeah, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, that's happening right now. Nothing like what I'm seeing today. I mean, the earthquakes we're seeing today, it's like I said, this one was like 9-something on the Richter scale, and then the aftershocks, 250-some aftershocks, that were 6 or so on the Richter scale. That's just phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. So compared to what I thought were a lot of earthquakes, what we're seeing today is just amazing. So the scale is far beyond what I thought at that time, back in the 60s, and now look at and go, wow, this must be the last of the last days. Now, I don't know how soon the Lord's coming back. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be 10 years from now. I have no idea. No man knows the day or the hour. Amen. That's what the scripture says. And if anybody tells you they do know the day or the hour, they don't know what you're talking about. Because the Bible is very clear that only the Father knows. Even Jesus said the Son doesn't know. In other words, he didn't know. Only the Father knew when he was supposed to come back. So, well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to be concerned, is the bottom line. I'm not going to be concerned about the day. I'm not going to be concerned about the hour. But I am going to be aware of the signs that are leading us to that point in time. I'm going to be aware when I see stuff happen on the news, and even people in the secular world, like I said, where I work, say, wow, you'd think it was the end of the world. Well, yes. Why do you think there's so many movies that are coming out right now about the end of the world, the end of the world? Well, there's all kinds of things going on. There's all kinds of reasons, and there's the Mayan prophecy, and there's all these kinds of crazy things that the world has latched on to. But the bottom line is, there is truth to the fact that these things are unique. They are happening in a way that makes it very plain. The perception, see, I'm getting back to this thing of the perceiving, understanding, the depth of understanding. There's something in your spirit, man, that just knows there's something going on. There's something in your spirit that's witnessing to you. The time is short. There's something in your spirit that says, wow, this must be it. And that sense should be driving you toward good decisions spiritually. Standing on the Word of God. Opening your bowels of compassion to those in need. Being in a position to be used by God in a way that will be a blessing to the world and to the body of Christ. Because I believe as we do this, as we demonstrate the love of God, not just in word, but in deed and in truth, we will see people come to the Lord. I believe this day that we're in is a day of tremendous revival. There's already things going on. You won't hear it in the regular secular news. You may see the earthquakes, and you may see the devastation, and you may see all these things and go, oh my goodness, look at that. What you won't see is behind the scenes what's going on in the spirit realm. You won't see all the people that are going to be born again. You won't see, and I'm not talking about because of the disasters. I'm talking about because of people reaching out with their bowels of compassion, reaching out to them and ministering to them, and people seeing the reality of the love of God, seeing the reality of Christian teaching and ministry. We're in a day, folks, when the reality of the Word must be demonstrated. That's why this particular revival that we're in right now and that we're entering even deeper into is a revival of the Word and the Spirit. We're going to have to be in a position, talking about each of us individually, we need to be in a position to minister supernaturally, call upon what we've learned through these years, minister through the power of the Holy Spirit, lay hands on the sick and see them recover, cast out devils as that is a necessary situation that you may find yourself in. All these things, I don't go looking for devils, that's what I'm saying, you know, find a devil under every rock. Well, there are devils out there, but they're not under every rock. So the point is, don't go hunting them, but when they turn up, cast them out. And don't go saying, you know, what's your name and how long have you been around and have you been in Hitler and Mussolini and all this crazy stuff that people get into. You know, I get off on a rabbit trail on that. But the bottom line is get real. Get real with the Word of God. Get real with your belief in the Word. And be ready and able to minister. And the ready and able part is what I'm talking about. Let this motivation that comes from the bowels of compassion in your heart be what drives you, motivates you, directs you to do what God is speaking to you to do. He may tell you to give to a certain ministry or fund or whatever to help the folks over in Japan. He may do that. Or he may say, pray for these folks. He may even say, and I believe this, there's some of you out there, he may speak to and tell you the name of a certain city. Maybe not even one of the ones that you're aware of, like Tokyo or Kyoto or some of the other major cities, but some maybe small city and say, just pray for that city. Pray for all those people. Pray for the government officials. Pray for those that are there. And you may say, why in the world would God have me pray for this little town? I don't know, but he does. Be available. Be ready to do that. Give of yourself, give of your time, give of your finances, but minister with these bowels of compassion that I'm talking about here and that the Word of God is talking about. Minister effectively. And as you get sensitive to that, and as you act on that, and you lay aside your own desires and meet the needs of others, that puts you in a position to be used of God, number one, but to become more sensitive to what God wants you to do. And that's what we've got to be, is sensitive in the spiritual realm so that we can do what God's asking us to do, what He's desirous of us to do, to see this revival just take hold and burn across the world and people come to the Lord in huge quantities, praise God, and add to the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That would be, it is literally the time to be alive. This time is the time to be alive. Praise the Lord. You are in a position. You are in a time and an era like no other. It's your time and your destiny. And so you need to do what God's asking you to do. And when you do, whoo, praise God, you will be blessed, 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 blessed. And I'm not talking about cars and homes and all that. All that's fine. And all those things will be added. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, those things will be taken care of. But more important, the things of God will be taken care of. The blessings of God will pour out on people. And they'll see that God is interested in them. God cares for them. God loves them. And He wants to use the body of Christ to reach out a hand to these people that are in dire situations. Grab them by the hand and pull them up and get them acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the compassion that God has for them, the love that God has for them. And then they will see truly the Word in operation through you. Amen. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Going to have to go for right now, but I want you to write me at Word of Faith Ministries, our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, that's 5213, High Point, North Carolina. Of course, our zip code 27265. And as always, you can write me at our email address, and that is Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Write me. I want to hear from you. Check out our website, www.wofm.org. And remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.